Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know that yes, my new book, 131 Method, is available on pre-sale. You can find it on Amazon. And when you do, be sure to save your order number and stay tuned. In fact, I would love for you to sign up for the newsletter at 131method.com because we want to let you know where it is. You can enter your order number. We've got some really cool things planned for you guys. And I just want you guys to be the first to know. Like, I love my podcast listeners. You guys are the bomb.com. And I can't thank you enough for those. I can't even believe how many of you found the link before I even knew it was available on Amazon. So yes, it's available now. You don't get charged until the book releases, which is going to be in April of this year. But just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being on this journey with me and for supporting me and getting a copy of this book, because I truly believe this is going to change the legacy of health for you and your family.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Hey there. Welcome to this edition of The Chalene Show. I'm excited that you're here. Today, we're going to help you find your voice, to become more assertive, to stand up for yourself, and to get what you want from life without confrontation. I did an episode, in fact, I will link to it in our show notes, about how to avoid burnout. And what came up for a lot of people, especially the messages that I got from you, like on Facebook, on Instagram, and even on Snapchat, what came up for a lot of you is that you're feeling burnt out because you're in a situation where you either feel like you can't express your needs or ask for help or speak your true peace, ask for what it is you need, or you're afraid of that confrontation. Or you're afraid that if you speak your mind, it either won't be heard or people will judge you if you express what it is you need. Which made me realize one of the things we have to address is that need to please and how important it is for you to find your voice, for you to express what it is you need, and in fact, for you to figure out how to get what you need sometimes without even expressing it. So today, I'm going to share with you tips to help you feel more assertive, more in control, without having to feel like you're the B word or aggressive or one of those really confrontational people that none of us like to be around. Before we get into this, let me just say, this can be done. You can change the way that you communicate. You can learn to speak up for yourself, but this is going to take practice. But more than just practice, it takes an understanding of how to do this. Let's start first with why it is you need to make this change. Now, I suspect you've had a lot of praise for being a really nice person, being easy to get along with, being someone who is very accommodating. But inside, every time you sacrifice your own needs, your own wants, your own desires, you want to go to this restaurant, but you don't speak up. You don't really want to go to this party, but you don't speak up. You don't really want to be the person that has to take out the trash every week, but you don't speak up. Every time you're doing something that you really don't want to do, that goes against who you are or who it is you want, even though you might get that momentary, you know, positive feeling when someone praises you and you're able to keep the peace, inside of you, a little piece of you dies. So I want to talk to you about why you need to change this. And I think you already know that, but I just want to point out the obvious. The first thing is, if you're not able to communicate what it is you need and want, you end up living an unlived life. And you're really at risk of this if you're married to or in a relationship with someone who is really good at expressing what it is they need. They're the one who comes up with ideas. They tend to be more dominant, more domineering, more assertive. There's that word. And you then take on the role of going along with. And that's not fair to either of you. I guarantee even this assertive person that you're with, maybe it's even a friend, because even in friend relationships, there's always one friend who's more assertive. There's one friend who says, hey, maybe we should do this. And the other one says, okay, sounds good. There's always that person who's more assertive, which means there's always the person in the relationship who's less assertive. And by the way, you might be assertive in some relationships and then lose your voice in other relationships. I can tell you from personal experience, that was the case with myself and my husband. My husband is very confident. He's opinionated. If you follow him on social media, I am not responsible. for the views and opinions that come out of his mouth. You know, he speaks his mind. He's very, I guess you would even say intense, you know. He can intimidate people, but he's like a pit bull, like a really, really sweet pit bull. He loves his owner. He's got a reputation because pit bulls have a reputation, but he's very, very sweet. Nonetheless, we've been married for going on 24 years. But in the first, I don't know, maybe literally first like 12 years or more of our marriage, I didn't realize this, but he was just going along with whatever I said. I just thought, and I still do, think I've got really good ideas. So he's just going along for it. And I would always say to him, well, is that what you want to do? And he'd be like, yeah, you know, if that's what you want to do. I was always asking him that, but yet his body language, his demeanor, and everything else was kind of telling me he didn't love it. But because he wasn't communicating it with me, I didn't know what it was he didn't love. I didn't know what it was he wasn't happy about. But that just kept growing and growing and growing. This like resentment started growing. And until he went to therapy for this specific thing, he really was uncomfortable saying no to any of my ideas, anything I wanted to do, any place I wanted to go, anyone I wanted to hang out with, anything. He was uncomfortable saying no. Now, there were certain things I didn't do or didn't say because I knew he didn't like it. But there were a lot of things that I didn't realize he was just going along with it, but doing so with resentment. And when he finally did go to therapy to deal with this, you know, kind of the underlying issue was that he, growing up, never felt like he had a voice in his own family. Like his dad is a football coach. I think I've mentioned this before. He's very, you know, awesome guy, great relationship with him now, but, you know, one of those kind of intimidating old school football, head football coach kind of dads, you know, where like you don't talk back and you do what I say you're going to do and you don't talk about your feelings and you don't talk about whether something's right or wrong. You just do it or you're going to get in trouble. And I think because I'm kind of a bossy pants, this is going to sound super weird and maybe, you know, just so you know, I'm not a therapist. I am not Dr. Phil. This is just my hypothesis. And also, one of his therapists also suggested that I kind of played that same kind of role early in our relationship. Like he just believed that his dad, you know, knew best, so you don't question him. And then when we got married, he just kind of assumed like, okay, she knows best. So even if I have a different opinion, even if I have different wants, needs, desires, I'm not going to express them because I don't want to upset her. I don't want to go against her. So anyways, in therapy, he really worked through that beautifully. And I just remember the first time, literally, I was in the room when he was like, okay, I'm going to tell my dad. Here he is an adult, right? Like, I think he was maybe even in his 40s at this point. And he's like, okay, I'm going to tell my dad that I don't want to do this thing. And he was like kind of psyching himself up. And he's like, okay. So, and he had his dad on speaker. And so he says, so dad, I don't really want to do that. And his dad was like, okay, that's cool. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And you could just see like Brett's face was like, you know what I mean? Like this total relief. I'm like, how crazy that he waited all these years to finally realize you're still going to be loved. You're still going to be accepted. And gosh, even if his dad had a negative response, which he didn't, but even if he had, it's okay. You're still a good person. You're still lovable. I think one of the reasons why we fear speaking up and expressing what it is we need is because A, we lack the confidence maybe in this particular relationship, right? Like, because maybe you're assertive at work, but you're not assertive at home. Maybe you're assertive with your own family, but you're not assertive with your in-laws. One of the reasons why we do this is we want to be appreciated. We want to be loved. We want to be accepted. But that's a dangerous place to be because that person ends up living an unlived life. They don't get to call the plays. They don't get to chart their own course. They have to go along for the ride with somebody else instead of together creating a course. They have to just go with the crowd. You end up feeling like you're compromising who you are. Like a little piece of you dies inside when you have to be someone you're not, when you have to agree with something that you don't agree with, when you have to kind of swallow your pride and just go along with. This person also tends to have less intimacy, you know, closeness in all of their relationships. Because real, fulfilling relationships, in order to have one of those, two people have to interact on a very deep interpersonal level. Like, you have to know the wants, desires, and authentic needs of another person in order to really have an intimate relationship. But when you suppress what it is you want, when you hold back on what it is you desire, when you don't express your expectations or your demands or any of those things in an effort to conform or to just get along, the relationship kind of stays on a surface level instead of like really becoming enduring. And this is true of friendships. Like, even in your friendships, I mean, you just have to know, you have to have trust that if this is the right person, friend, coworker, significant other, then you're going to work through these things and it's going to deepen your relationship. And ironically, it's this person who never speaks up for themselves who ends up often leaving a marriage or creating such resentment towards the person or the people that they end up sacrificing what could have been a great relationship simply because they never expressed themselves. They never knew how to. And then so much resentment builds up that that person just has to walk away because they're sick of being treated like a doormat. But newsflash, if you feel like a doormat, it's because you've laid down in front of the door. Well, I hope that that's given you the motivation to make some of these changes. Let's get to it. Number one, you've got to redefine how it is you think about standing up for yourself. Like, most people who lack assertiveness in any one relationship believe that if they are advocating for themselves, they don't think of it as advocation, they think of it as confrontation, right? But it's not about confrontation. In fact, the better you get at advocating, not just for you, but you advocating for like everyone, the less likely you are to have conflicts or arguments or these uncomfortable situations that you've created in your head. Like, anytime you fear sharing what it is you need, you want, it's because you've held it down for so long. Now it just feels like it's going to explode into a confrontation. And it probably is, because you've allowed it to turn into too big of a thing. See, it's not you against everyone or you against this person. In fact, it's you being for everyone. It's you being an advocate for what's right for everyone. So if you're an advocate, not just for you, but for everyone, like you want what's right for everyone, you're going to be in such a better place than where you are if you think, okay, it's just got to be right for this person, or it's just got to be right for me. Like, that's not going to get you what you want. But remember this, most people don't have that level of intelligence. Most people are only concerned with what's right for them. Most people are. Just get over it. That's how most people are. Most people are very selfish. Most people are only thinking of themselves. Most people have been hurt either from past relationships or for whatever reason. So they act a little defensively. They act in their own best interest. But when it doesn't matter what other people do, as long as you're thinking about what's right for most people, I'm an advocate for what's fair for all of us. And of course, putting yourself into that equation, perhaps even as number one, you're going to come out on top. But know the difference between expressing what it is you need or understanding this other person so that you can get what you want in such a way that you don't have to engage in conflict. Being assertive simply means you know what you want. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you have to have an aggressive conversation or you have to stand up to somebody. It just means being smart enough and confident enough to figure out a way to get what it is you want. So if I were to call that step one, I would say that step one is to not think about assertiveness as confrontation or being aggressive. Think of being assertive as being someone who is an advocate for themselves and also for others. In preparing for today's podcast, I was trying to think about a recent situation where I felt like I wanted to confront someone, like I wanted to have this confrontation, right? So that's the first thing, is just kind of stop yourself when you feel like your blood kind of boil, because your emotions can get high when you want to, quote unquote, be assertive or confront someone. So recently, okay, I'll share with you that there's a friend of mine who I spent a lot of time helping them promote their book and, you know, just went out of my way to really help them in their business, right? Without the expectation of reciprocation, right? Like, they're not supposed to, I didn't do it because I wanted them to do it for me. That's what I say. That's what I told myself at the time. But now I've got the book out, right? I've got the 1-through-1 method book. By the way, if you haven't picked up your copy, you should. I don't need a confrontation. I'm just expressing to you my desires, what is important to me. And I'm advocating for you and for me and suggesting that you pick up a copy of the 1-through-1 method. Anyways, I've got this book out. You know, I started doing that thing where you start kind of going over it in your head and feeling sorry for yourself and like creating this scenario in your head. And I'm like, you know what? It's kind of BS that this person hasn't asked me to be on their podcast, that they haven't reached out to me, that they haven't done anything to help promote my book. And I really went balls to the wall. Like I sent for them in my emails. I promoted it on social. I bought a massive amount of copies to give them away. You know, so I'm building up this resentment. And I'm thinking to myself, I should just call this person and confront them. But then I went through the stages that I'm going to share with you. And the first thing was, well, okay, first of all, it's not about confrontation. It's about figuring out what is it that I want. I would like his or her help. I'm not going to say his name or her name so that you can't figure it out. But either way, there's nothing to figure out because this is about me. It's not about them. But I was thinking to myself, okay, well, what I would like is I'd like their help. But ultimately, it's okay if I don't get it too, right? Because the world isn't fair and not everyone's going to be as giving as you are. And if we are to be giving as a reflection of how we expect others to give to us, we're going to be deeply disappointed. I did what I did for this person because I believed in the book that they wrote and I believed in this person. That's number one. Number two, which relates to this very same issue, is that people cannot read your mind. Okay. They cannot read your mind. You're assuming that you know what's going on in their head. You're assuming there's a reason why they've done what they've done, or you assume that it's very intentional. It must be personal, that they have certain thoughts around it. But the fact of the matter is, no one can read your mind. So before you jump to any conclusions, if you really do want to bring this up with this person, if you do really want to communicate it to them, then before you have a conversation, go on a fact-finding mission, which is what I did in this exact scenario, and realized that this person was already promoting another person's book at the moment who they're pretty close with. And once I realized that, I'm like, I can't expect them to promote my book at the same time, number one. The next thing I really just recognize is their business is at a different place. It's in a different space now than what it was many years ago when it would have been a good fit to talk about the 1-through-1 method book. But now it might be viewed as competition or something that competes with what he or she does. So it's like, well, it's not personal. It's his or her business. Like it's a bottom line kind of thing. And I certainly can't take that personal. And lastly, if I really thought about it, there's a possibility this person doesn't even know I've got a book coming out. Why would they? Why should they have to keep up with everything that I'm doing in social media? Now we connect, we text. I try not to talk about like what I'm doing work-wise with my friends. I try to just really allow it to be a friend relationship where we can talk about what's going on in our lives and not too much about the specifics of work. And then on top of that, I haven't communicated that I would love to go on his or her podcast or that I would love his or her help. So they might just assume I'm good. You know, if I'm not expressing myself, if I'm not being honest about expectations, it's not fair to this other person that I have my nose bent out of shape. You cannot expect that somebody else can read your mind. I got a message recently from someone who is a lawyer working in a law firm, and she explained that every time one of the partners comes to her and ask her to do additional research, additional work, whatever it is, she just does it, you know, and she's happy to stay, or at least she pretends to be happy to stay, you know, until like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And she's been doing this for years. And so she sent me this message saying, you know, I'm becoming very resentful. I'm feeling very taken advantage of. They haven't talked to me about becoming a partner. I've just always done this assuming like that's what they're going to see, is that I'm willing to bend over backwards, that I go the extra mile, that I work, you know, longer than anyone else, harder than anyone else. And I just feel very taken advantage of. I'm becoming very resentful. I feel like I'm being completely taken advantage of. I feel like they're using me and disrespecting my time, you know, that I should have for my personal life. But here's the problem with that scenario. She's making the assumption that the partners know what her intentions are. She's making the assumption that they are expecting her to do this. She's expecting them to read her mind. But see, she's offering to stay, and she's doing so willingly. They don't know that she's resentful of it. So they might assume, here's the assumptions they have. They assume she doesn't have a life. She's not married, doesn't have kids. So this is what she loves to do, that she's passionate about her work. They may be thinking that she is going to make partner soon or in the next 5 years or whatever, and that she probably already knows that. And they've made the assumption that they don't have to communicate that to her, that she should just know that because they've taken notice of her effort. You see, the problem is we can't read each other's minds. They shouldn't assume that she just wants to do that and that she's doing so out of free will and it's just what she wants to do. And she can't assume, she shouldn't assume, that they actually expect her to do these things. So rather than build up resentment, rather than assuming that people can read your mind or that you can read theirs, just have an open conversation. And here's my next point. Be chill. Ugh. Is there anything worse? Seriously. I guess because I am an assertive person and I have one of those situations where I can tell it's someone who typically afraid to share their voice. And when they do finally find their voice and express what it is they need, they do so in such a way that's really confrontational and emotional and almost like in a state of victimhood. Like, I just can't take it anymore and I don't know why. And you know, this isn't fair. And I just want to say, gosh, this is so easy to avoid. Like, all you had to do is have a conversation with myself or whomever it was that you're feeling, you know, like you're a victim to them. You see, you guys, listen, you might disagree with this, but we're freaking adults. I hate to say this. This isn't my personal opinion. So you can send me some, I don't know, your opinion if you'd like. I just think we are adults. We have a right to advocate for ourselves. And if we do so early enough, it doesn't have to be confrontational. It can be chill. Most people, what they really need to do is just learn to communicate earlier. Then it's going to be so much more comfortable for you. Then you don't have to spend weeks, months, years, decades with this resentment building up. Just express yourself. Especially if you do it early, there won't be the same level of emotion, hostility, and resentment that builds up when we let these things just fester. And that leads me to point number three. So let me recap. Number one was learning that you just need to be an advocate instead of someone who confronts. Number two was you got to stop expecting people to read your mind and making assumptions about what they're thinking. You're assuming that they can read your mind and you're making assumptions about what's going on in their head. And number three is the calmest person holds the power. The more emotional you get, the less control you have in the situation. The calmest person wins. That's a simple one. Number four, this is really important. Before you decide to have this conversation with this person, right? Before you decide to open up or to address it, after you've done that fact-finding mission, I need you to then imagine that you need to make their argument for them. And more than that, more than just making their argument for them, I need you to also understand why they think the way they think. What about their past? What about their lifetime experiences? What about their childhood? Yeah, that's why I always ask people about their childhood, because if I know even just a little bit about a person's childhood and their relationship with their parents, siblings, with just a little bit of information, you really can start to understand the way people react to other people. You can understand power struggles. You can understand why someone does or doesn't have a voice. You know, just if you understand a person's life experiences, you can begin to understand the lenses that they're looking at the world through. And sometimes when you're looking through lenses that have a different prescription than your own, things look very, very different. And having that perspective does you a great favor. You know what it does? It helps you to realize this ain't personal, boo. This isn't this person against you or everyone against you or people, you know, walking all over you. There's a reason why this person is the way they are. There's a reason why they see the situation the way they see it. And if you can really put yourself in their shoes, and not just from their past experiences, but what are they dealing with like right now? Really imagine what it would be like to be them. And this is not easy to do, but if you can do this, OMG, you're going to have such an easier time of charting your course, of being in control of your life. Because once you understand where a person's coming from and why they feel the way they do and things from their perspective, it's so much easier to have that conversation. And here's the deal. You start that conversation by acknowledging their position before they've even stated it. Let's use that same example. So if I'm the female attorney, if I'm that gal who sent me the letter, I would simply think about like, okay, so if I am my partner's, what could their argument be? Well, their argument could be that they assume, because I always say yes, that I love staying late, that they assume because I'm not married and I don't have children. So she could start the conversation off like this, like, guys, I know it probably appears as though, and I know I've given you the impression, like you almost take ownership of their argument first. So she could sit down and say, I know I have raised my hand first to volunteer to stay many late nights and weekends working here for the firm because I love it and I'm very passionate about it. I also know it's probably easier to assign things to me because, well, you know, I'm not married. I don't have kids. So it's not going to tap into, you know, baseball practice or things I've got going on with a spouse. So I can see how it would be easy to turn to me or to look to me first. I also imagine that because I always am very eager and say yes, that the assumption is I like the extra hours. I love the extra involvement that I have with the firm. And I appreciate that. So I recognize that that's going on. But I also want to share with you, it's important to me that you know I'm doing this because I am devoted to becoming a partner in this firm. You see, if you disarm the other person's argument before you even express your own position, you take them off the defensive. Remember, this isn't about a confrontation. This isn't about like, you know, demanding, making demands, and then this person's like, you've always been right. Let's just do this differently from now on. You were so right. We were so wrong. That ain't never gonna happen. It's simply about getting what you want. It's not about a win or a lose or who's right or who's wrong. It's just how can you be an advocate for yourself and also an advocate for others? All right, this last tip is one I don't think you'll have heard before. Even if you've done a little bit of research, you've read some blogs, even a few books on how to become more assertive, I don't think you'll hear this one. But I think it's really super practical. It is, you've got to practice. You've got to practice doing this. And the best way to do it is in writing. Yeah, that's the cool thing about text messaging, is if you lack experience asserting yourself and putting these tactics into work, one way you can do this is compose an email or compose a text message, but do so on a memo or a note on your phone. That way you don't accidentally hit send before you've read it, reread it, listen to this podcast again, corrected it, run it by somebody else who's really good at this kind of thing. Don't run it by someone who's super confrontational. Don't run it by your mom who's going to be like, you need to stand up for yourself. Yes, you tell them that you are the best attorney. You know, like run it by someone who's very level-headed and knows how to communicate in such a way that everyone ends up happy, right? Remember, you don't need to win. You don't need to win. No one is going to say you were so right, we were so wrong. That should not be your goal. Your goal is to find that happy medium where you're getting your needs met and they're getting their needs met. But you're communicating what your needs are in such a way that doesn't feel confrontational. So practice writing this. Put it in a memo, reread it, and go like, okay, so now if I were getting this, how would I feel? Recently, a friend of mine said, okay, I have this coworker who is so ridiculously messy and we have to share a cubicle space and it's just a pigsty every single day. So, Shalene, would you take a quick glance at this text message I was going to send her like this weekend so that when we come back on Monday, things will be different? And the text message was hysterical. I'm like, yeah, this is the perfect text message to send if you want this person to hate you. No, this is a horrible, I didn't say it was a horrible text message, but I'm like, I'm sure there's a better way we can do this. So I suggested that she recompose that text message. Thankfully, she hadn't sent it yet. But I said, start off by imagining all of the annoying things, I'm sure there are some, about having to share a cubicle with you. Maybe you could talk about how it must be really hard to have to share a space with someone who's a neat freak. You know, see things from her perspective. Say, it's got to be a pain in the butt that even the littlest of disruptions can, you know, be disturbing to me, or that I need my stapler lined up with the edge of my laptop. And I certainly know I have my control freak or my OCD-isms, whatever you want to call it. But just imagine what it feels like to be her first, and put that out there first so that you can disarm her. And then rather than point fingers at her and say, you know, you just, it's so messy, I can't even concentrate, it's just a pigsty, then you're pointing fingers at her. Instead, say, I wanted to help you understand kind of where I come from. And I grew up in a family where there was a lot of chaos, or, you know, just explain why it is you like order. And then explain to her, and I totally respect your creativity and how it is you work. I just wanted to help you understand that from my perspective, I actually feel my anxiety rise when the cubicle becomes messy or disorganized. And I'm wondering if there were some things that I could do that would help us both find that happy medium. Because I know I probably drive you crazy, and I just really want to address this so that it's a really comfortable working environment for you. And maybe we could come up with some possible solutions that will help me keep my anxiety low. You see what happened there? We just made it about her. Because ultimately, she doesn't care whether this person is like, you know, you're right or you're wrong. She just wants the space to be clutter-free and organized. And the best way to do that is to not point at someone else and put them on the defensive. You see, you can get what you want. You can find your voice. It just takes practice. And sometimes that practice, it's best for you to start that practice, I should say, in a written form, because then you can work it and rewrite it and work it and rewrite it. And then you're going to get really good at this, because the more you practice it, the easier it becomes. And the more you realize it helps all of your relationships, the more you speak up, the more you find your voice, the more you learn to negotiate, the more truthful, the more authentic you are with yourself and with others, the deeper your relationships will become with everyone. It's just a much more authentic way to live. And then you won't be eaten alive on the inside by the resentment that builds up when we don't speak our truth. I'd love to hear what you thought about this episode. Can you do me a favor? Hit me up on Instagram, post a screenshot of the podcast. Be sure to tag me in your Instagram story at Shalene Johnson. And then a lot of people will do this and then they don't say anything about the episode. So the people who are following you are like, well, why should I listen? So even if you just did a couple of, you know, stories and just explain to people why this was a helpful episode to listen to, that way people can decide for themselves if it's something they need or they don't need. But don't forget to tag me, because I love seeing those. I love sharing those with my Instagram audience. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for spending this time with me. I love you. I appreciate you. And I hope to see you soon. Don't forget, turn on your notifications on Instagram, because depending on when you're listening to this, I've been going live a whole bunch and I love talking to my podcast listeners, because I mean, you guys are the best. Don't tell everybody else, but I really do favor you. All right. Talk to you soon.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.